I'm somewhat feeling overly happy today, and I'm glad that Pastor Gary is so enthused and energetic. I guess he had a good vacation swimming with the sharks, and which I thought was stupid, and the stingray, which was stupid, but he survived it, and he's even more vibrant that he put a new twist on the announcement. Very good job, man. Okay, we've been doing a series on tough questions, answers to some tough questions, but we're still in that 4th of July celebration. So before I get to my message, just want to share some things as it relates to this country. I think sometimes we're a little bit too reserved in celebrating the United States of America. I'm glad I live here. And I'm glad that all three of my kids were born here and had the opportunity to grow up here. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I love this country. It's the greatest country on earth. I've been to only a few, but I would prefer none other than this one here. But some crazy things go on here, and just some little quotes on crazy things that go on in this country that says, only in America can you order pizza and it gets here. Only in America can pizza get to your house before the ambulance. Only in America that there's a handicapped parking at the front of a skating ring. Only in America at the drugstore that they let the sick people walk to the back to the pharmacy, and those who are looking for suntan lotion can retrieve it from the front. Only in America does one order double cheeseburger, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Only in America, and this is for me, we leave our cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and fill it with fill the garage with junk. I still have that lawnmower that I need to get out here. And finally, only in America can we order hot dogs in packages of 10 and the buns in packages of 8. Anyhow, I love this country. Amen. It's a wonderful country. The only person I know that doesn't love it that much is my mom. When she comes here in 2 weeks, I want to send her back home. So I'm going to go visit her because she keeps telling me how she's lonely. So, you know, she doesn't want to come, but she wants me to visit her. But anyhow, before I get into my message, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this country. Thank you for all the blessings that you have showered upon us. So help us to not forget where all these blessings came from. Help us to continue to praise thee, and that we be able to continue to worship thee in an open and free fashion like this. Bless each one here in a special way, as they might hear the word and it might apply to their heart. That if there's someone here who doesn't know thee as their personal Savior, they might come to know thee before it's too late. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been going through a series called Answering Life's Tough Questions. And we have done the first one we did. Anybody? I've been a teacher, so I like to get you people involved. What's the first one we did? Everybody can answer except or. And she's probably looking in the bulletin. The second one is, and that one was done by Pastor Trevor. And Pastor Trevor had so much fun on vacation that he decided to have another mini one this weekend. He'll be back with us next week. And then the second one is, how can I be happy? Remember that one by Pastor Gary? And the one last week is, I loved that one last week. Not that I didn't like the other two. What was it? Why was life so unfair? And where did he take his scripture from? Anybody? Psalm 73. Guys, don't just listen to what we have and say to you here. Go home and review it. And we'll hope that you'll hide all these words in your heart so that you can apply it when necessary. But I'm going to take a look at why do I have to work so hard? And it's rather ironic that we do this week, because this country was founded on hard work. The people who founded this country and the people before us would work hard, especially some, a huge number work for free. And there's a question that says, what would this country have been if those people weren't here working for free. And I'm not going to get any deeper in that. I'm just going to lay that out. But as we look at why should I work so hard, you know, we can go to Solomon, who had a lot to say about why should we work so hard. He asked the questions four times. And I'm going to share theirs. He asked the questions four times. Essentially what he did, he asked the question four times, and I'll share the other three times that he asked. But he sort of break it down, his answers, into two parts. One category was the lazy worker. What does a man get for all his hard work? And he says, the lazy worker, the fool won't work and almost starves, but feels it's better to be lazy and barely get by than work hard. And we have no lazy person here, right? And then the other answer is the workaholic. And I think we have some workaholic here. And I hope you, again, we have no lazy worker here, but I think, and why I say at least one, because I saw the answer that I prepared this message, I thought about myself, and I think I'm a workaholic. Before this message, I didn't think I was, but after going through this message, I know I am. It says, here's a man who is always working, never satisfies with the wealth he has. For whom is he working so hard and denying himself any pleasure? This is useless and a miserable way to live. Here are two answers to the question. And we go to Solomon to sort of answer this, because Solomon was a man who achieved tremendous success. So we're going to look at the first part, how to achieve success. And I'll say it's for those of you who probably need to work a little harder. And Solomon has itemized some ways to achieve success. And Solomon achieved, I think it was our pastor Gary who spoke about how to be happy, all the achievements and all the wealth of Solomon, more than even Bill Gates or probably Buffett combined. His wealth was innumerable. So Solomon itemized six ways in which we can achieve success. And I want especially you young heads, I'm trying to speak modern now, you young heads, that is young people, take a quick note here as you go off into life, how to achieve success. If Solomon says it, then it has to work because he experienced it now. This is not nothing that never happened. But here are six key ways to success. And the first one is work enthusiastically. Solomon says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. You know, I don't know if you work with anybody who works with a frown and complain. And around me, I work in a cubicle with lots of people. And you're constantly hearing people, when is 5 o'clock? And those same people are asking, when is Friday evening? And those same persons are asking, when they're going to retire? When is payday? Yeah, those people are even asking, when is payday? I see somebody shaking their head. But work enthusiastically. You need to give your all to it. No, nothing can be done without an enthusiast. And I think there was somebody called Emerson who said, give me one moment here. Emerson said, there is no great accomplishment without enthusiasm. You got to show some enthusiasm. Even if you don't like it, fake it. Give a smile, and it'll make a big difference. Okay, so the first one is work enthusiastically. The second one is work with integrity. You know, unfortunately, you got to tell Christians that they got to work in, integrity. Integrity is what you do when nobody is looking. And Solomon says here, a good reputation is better than expensive perfume. Perfume lasts for a moment, and it'll go away. But integrity is something that will last forever. That's what you'll take into heaven. If you want to be successful, you should have integrity. And, you know, it's a shame that integrity is one of those things that doesn't seem to matter anymore. The third one is work skillfully. What Solomon says here, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is need, but skill will bring success. You need to work skillfully. You need to work smart. And there are some professionals who require upgrading of their skills on a regular basis. We all need to upgrade our skills. Someone says in the last 10 years, we've got to assimilate 25 more times information than previous. And it's also said that if, especially in these times, and my wife is experiencing it now, I probably should have told her this before, but if you want to avoid layoff, constantly improve yourself. You cannot just do the same work over and over. And it has happened. We've seen 63,000 people lost their jobs last month. And probably for the beginning of this year, probably 300,000-400,000. But you've got to constantly improve yourself. Make yourself more skillful each day. The fourth one in how to achieve success is work efficiently. There is a right time and a right way to do everything. Economize your time. Work strategically. One needs to budget their time. You know, there's only 2% of Americans that actually have a budget in terms of, or a priority in what they want to achieve. We just living, just doing, and not trying to control what happens in our life. But we need to set a priority list on what we want to achieve over the next. We should have a short-term goal, like within the next year, and then a long-term goal. I had a principal for 7 years who told me the same thing, about told us the same thing every year. If you strive for nothing, you'll fall for anything. So you've got to set a priority list. And remember now, I'm sort of looking this side here, but you young heads, especially those who are young heads who are going out to work early, set a priority list. What do you want to achieve? Where you want to be in the next 5 years? And this is one of the interview questions they usually ask. Where you want to be in the next 5 years?
In your job.
In my job. No, you don't want my job unless you're willing to drive 2 hours to work each day. You see, there's a thing that comes with everything. So be careful what you ask for. You never know what you might get it. So sometimes we get caught up in just doing what we think is necessary right now. They call it the tyranny of the urgent. This thing needs done right now. But does it need done right now? We need to set priority on it and then move on. The fifth thing that we need to look at as we strive for success is to work cooperatively. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time here on this. We need to work together. PCC members need to work together. We need a team. Is there any I in team? Absolutely no I in team. So we need to work cooperatively. Success is not a one-man show. You know, our praise and worship pastor does a good job here, but it's not because of him. He has support staff with him, people encourage him and help him through this. There's no I in team. Remember that. We need to work together. We need to pull together. And especially for PCC, if PCC is going to grow, we need to work together. Each of you here have a specific task to do. And only you and you alone can do it. I can't do it. I can probably just encourage you to do it, but you can do it. You have a purpose here, and you've got to fill in your role. So remember, as you strive for success, you need to work cooperatively. You know, this society sort of worship high achievers and, you know, put them up on a pedestal. But they absolutely, if you get with them, these people are successful at whatever they do, they'll tell you they didn't do it all by themselves. There's a lot of support system behind them. So remember that. There's no I in team. We need to work cooperatively. Then finally, the sixth thing that we need to do to achieve success is to work persistently. Persistently. I'm reminded of Winston Churchill. For you young heads who probably don't know who Winston Churchill is, Winston Churchill was one of the famous prime minister of England back in the World War II, who got up to give a speech. And he got to the podium and he said, "Never give up, Never give up. Never give up. And then he sat down. That's all he said. You know, a lot of us have given up just before success was about to come. We have turned it in too early. The scripture says, keep on sowing your seed, for you never know which will grow. Perhaps it all will. So we got to keep on keeping on. You know, let's just show you how important persistence is. Let's take a look at some facts about failure. Basketball players, the very good ones make 50% of their shots. 50% of their shots. The very good ones. You're considered good if you can make 50% of your shots. Let's look at quarterbacks. The very good quarterbacks only complete 60% of their passes. 60%. You know, when I watched football and used to watch Dan Marino or South Florida superstar, one thing I used to admire about him, that when he threw an interception, he just went off the field and came back and he completely put that behind him. It never followed him. We tend to have failure and it stays with us for the rest of our life. Put it behind us. What they say, you can't about spilt milk? Exactly. Let's look at major league players, baseball players. 40% of the time they make it to first base. 40% of the time. That means 60% they didn't get there. They just walk away and went back. And if you ever watch baseball and look at some of those guys, when they don't make it, they just turn and walk back to the base. No big deal. I'll probably get them the next time. Because 4 out of 10 times they'll make it. Does that hamper them from doing good or making monstrous salaries? Absolutely not. But they focus on the four out of 10 times that they make it. Let me bring another instance real close to home. Oil companies. It costs billions and billions of dollars just to bring oil from out of the ground. And when they drill, only 10% of the time they're successful. Does that hamper them from drilling? Nope. I should hope not, or we'll probably be paying $10 a gallon. But only 10% of the time. So what am I saying here? That you're going to have failures. And if you don't succeed, guess what? Welcome to the human race, that you're going to succeed. I mean, you're going to have failure. People think that those who are successful never fail. But the difference between those who succeed and those who don't is that when those who succeed, when they fail, they get up and keep on going. You can think about Edison, who after 1,000 tries at different materials to make the element for the light bulb, somebody asked him, why you keep trying? His response was, at least I know 1,000 ways in which it won't work. And if he didn't keep that attitude up, we probably wouldn't have these light bulbs here. Right? But you see where I'm going in terms of persistency. Too often we give up too easy. And I'm talking to you young folks. You know, you're not going to always get A's. You're not always going to get B's. But just keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. Never give up, never give up. And we can say, yes, we can, yes, we can, yes, we can. And I'll add to that. I'll add my favorite verse, through Christ who strengthened me. So that's probably to our young folks and those of you who probably need to work a little harder because we have no lazy folks here. But I think we have at least one who might be classified a workaholic. Some of you who have success and probably don't need any more success, you probably need to slow down a little bit. And what does Solomon says here? Solomon says, chill out. Chill out. Or relax. Relax. You know, in a study done by the Department of Labor, it says that 25% of Americans would take more work so that they can make more money. So we are generally people who work hard, and I admire us all for doing that. This country was based on people working real hard. And as I prepared this message, I saw some of the sacrifices that people have made before us in terms of working very hard and tremendous sacrifices to get us where we are here. But there are extremes. We have seen an extreme where some don't want to work, and we see some who work too hard, who need to chill out or relax. And there's no better person to go to than probably Solomon again to see how we address, or how do we get from this grip of workaholism. And I didn't really realize that I was a workaholic until I'm working 4 days a week now, and one day I'm off, and I got up one morning and I said, I don't have anything to do with myself. What am I going to do? I don't have work to go today, and like, I got to find something to do. I hired somebody to do that. They say I don't do it too well. But seriously speaking, you know, I think I'm a workaholic. I discovered it, and you might probably not have known it. But Solomon says, relax, and we're going to look at some ways how we can address this problem. The first way he says how to address this problem is to readdress my values. And I want you to brace yourself here now. Brace yourself here, but it's not I who said this, how to readjust our values. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, I have learned why people work so hard to succeed. It is because they envy the things of their neighbors. I didn't say that. Go look in what Solomon says. What he's saying here is, a lot of times we work so hard is because we want to say we're number one. Oh, neighbors have something that we don't have, and we think that we should have it. So Solomon is saying, we need to adjust our values. This is the sort of person who never takes a vacation, because if he takes a vacation, his coworker might just take his job away. So he just works and works. Why do some people work so hard? You know, this society sort of reward workaholism. They love to see you work. People glory in working 18 hours a day. But as we climb the ladder of success, there are three questions that we should ask ourselves. Why am I working so hard? Do what might be called a motive check. What drives you to do this? Am I trying to prove something to somebody? What's motivated me to keep going on? And as we go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 4, is it greed? Is it envy? Is it fear? Or is it insecurity? I can't answer that for you. You've got to answer that for yourselves. The second question we should ask ourselves is the payoff worth it? Why do I keep fighting to get to the next level? What can I realistically expect from it? Is it worth sacrificing my life for it? You know, and as I prepared this message, I read an article, and I always browse a sports page, and I saw where an NBA player took $111 million instead of the max of $127 million. And he said, what can I buy my family? What can I buy my family with $127 million that I cannot buy with $111 million? It might not be that high for you. It might be $60,000 instead of $50,000, or it might be $400,000 instead of $300,000. But you've got to have your own level there. The third thing you should ask yourself is, why do I do it? Will it satisfy me? Will moving to the next level satisfy me? And one of the things you can do is go to the person who is on the next level and say, are you satisfied with where you are? And in all probability, they're going to say, you're going to hear them say, oh, I'm trying to get to the next level. And it will seem to be an endless task or a lifetime thing of moving to the next level, and never satisfied. So ask yourself these three questions. Why am I working so hard? Is the payoff worth it? And will it satisfy me when I get there? Relax is what Solomon says to us. The E in relax says, enjoy my rewards. Enjoy my rewards. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 13 says, all of us should eat and drink and enjoy what we've worked for. It is God's gift. You know, sometimes we feel, you know, I can remember, 5 years ago, when I was about to celebrate, or when I can't celebrate it by myself. We were about to celebrate our 25th anniversary. You know where I'm going, right? And I got laid off. Back that time, it was $95 each way to go to Europe. We'll probably never see that again. And we were ready to go, and I got laid off, and I said, oh, you know, I can't go to Europe. It's not kosher. You know, you look bad. You're laid off. You're not working. How can you go to Europe when you're not working? And you know, the strange thing about the Lord is once you don't get the message once, he gives you a second try to get it right. And this year, Cecile and I are going to celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary in 15 or 16 days. And we plan this trip to Jamaica, where I'm going to be celebrated to be the physics graduate of the 70s and celebrate our 30th anniversary. And now Cecile's laid off. But I think I learned it. I'm going on vacation. Come what may, this Thursday. Cecile, myself, and Cameron, and Casey later, we're going to get on a plane, and we're going to Jamaica for 10 days. And we're going to Jamaica Grand, and we're going to do some more stuff. I'm going to enjoy the rewards. I'm not going to say, boy, you know, Cecile's not working, so it's not kosher, so I'm not going to work. You know, the Lord has given me a second opportunity to really see how much I trust him. You know, he has taken us a long way. It's been 30 years, 30 beautiful years. And we're going to enjoy it. We're going to enjoy the rewards that the Lord has offered. Solomon says, stop, smell the roses. I thought about bringing some roses here and pass it around, because I think a lot of you haven't really stopped and smelled the roses. And figuratively, what that is saying is that you need to stop and take a stock of where you are and where you're coming from. What the Lord has done for you over the years. For Mickey, it's probably 37 years. I've probably got a lot of you, you know. The Lord has taken me this far. And he promises never to leave you or forsake you. So you got to trust him. You got to hold on to his promises and reward yourself. It's not bad to go and swim with the sharks or the stingray. Still stupid. But he came back re-energized. And I'm glad for that. He deserves it. Solomon says we should relax. And the L stands for limiting my labor. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 15, only someone too stupid to find his way home would wear himself out with work. Oh boy. If we're going to get a grip on this workaholism thing, we need to limit our labor. Time is precious. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, there is a time to work and there's a time to play. And there's the famous saying, all work and no play. Not only Jack, but Jill too. I know it's probably come from guys of societies where only the men work, but we have a lot of ladies working here too. Jill, you need some play. Okay. I don't know how true this is, but it says during the French Revolution, they abolished Sunday as a day of rest. And a few years later, they had to reinstate it because the health of the nation collapsed. You know, you can probably validate that for me. But we need to take time off, folks. We need to rest. There's some pastors who said, you know, we're in a spiritual warfare. I'm not taking a day off because the devil doesn't take a day off. But we should say to them, when did the devil become your role model? Do you think that if you stop working one day that everything is going to collapse? Probably not. Probably not. We ought to take time off. You know, in Psalm 127 and verse 2, it says, it is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning till late at night, for God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. It's dumb not to rest. It's dumb to abuse your body and to overextend it. You need your rest. And if you follow this society, you know, there's more work than, you know, you'll never be able to kill work, by the way. You'll never be able to kill work. There'll be work there after you're dead and gone. So what do we say to this? We need to set some priorities. You need to limit your labor so you may achieve. So you should schedule three things. It's not on the thing, so you might want to write it down. The first one is you need to schedule rest. Schedule recreation. Schedule time for relationships. And for those of you who are married, take a guess at what that R word is. You need to schedule time for romance. Let's move on before we get too heated and we got to lower the temperature. Solomon says, relax, relax. What does the A stands for? Anticipate God's care. Matthew, we need to trust God. The root of workaholism is worry. Worry. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31 through 32 says, don't worry, saying what we shall eat or drink or wear. Pagans run after these things. Your heavenly father, know you needs them. There's a song that I love very well. I know probably Gary will pick up, who is the author. I'll leave it for you to do your research, that says, this is a rat race. Oh, what a rat race. We need to get out of this rat race, folks. It is a rat race. God knows what you need, what he'll take, what you need, not what you want. There are four things on how you can try to achieve balance. And it's all about balance, folks. You know, it's balance, and anything out of balance is out of whack. And for everybody, mind you now, the balance is different. For some of you, fine, 8 hours a day is good, 10 is good, probably 12, if you're like me, if you include 4 hours driving, and you can deal with that. But we're all individuals, and we need to find our balancing point. What makes us balance? And, you know, you shouldn't compare yourself with others, as we'll get into trouble there. But four things that you need to achieve, you need to try to achieve balance in your life. First is, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. The second one, commit yourself to him and to rest in him. You know, a lot of us don't rest in him until he puts us on our back. And then we need to wait patiently on him. And that's something that's tough for us North Americans. Waiting and patience. We need everything yesterday. Yesterday. So if we try those four things, we might be able to anticipate God's care. And as I end this whole thing about relaxing as we try to find balance in our lives, the X stands for exchange my pressure for God's peace. Let me say it again. Exchange my pressure for God's peace. I need someone greater than myself by which I can exchange my pressure for his peace. What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 through 30? Come to me, all you are tired from carrying your heavy loads. And some of us are what? You know, I hate to say this, but some of us, if I scan the room here, some of us are Jamaicans, and we known to have one, two, three jobs, probably as many as 100 jobs. I don't know if that's practical. It's probably one job or a couple jobs a day. I don't know, but I've always heard a joke that they cast on people of Caribbean descent that have 100 jobs. But even though I know times are tough, I was walking into the restaurant, and the chef was leaving at lunchtime. And I always get close to the chef because, you know, I need to make sure everything works right for me. And earlier, he had said to me he wanted a job at my place. So I was walking there around after 12, and he was walking out. So I said, you know, where are you going? If you work at Liberty, you can't go home at lunchtime. I said, yes, I got to go to my other job. So why are you going to another job? I said, that other job is to pay for the gas. The other job pays the bills. So it might be understandable that we have multiple jobs in these times of high gas prices and things like that. But, you know, it's a matter of balance. We need to exchange our stress and for God's peace. As we go to prayer, some of you are running on emotional empty gas tanks. Your tank is empty. You're stressed out. You know, stress is one of these things that can cause, is responsible for a number of ailments. We've got a number of people in the medical field who can attest to that. You're probably dead tired, but you can't seem to stop. You just got to go. You've got bills to pay, mortgages to pay, school fees to pay, gas to fill the tank, and all that. You've been in this lifestyle, you don't know any other lifestyle. That's the way it's always been, and it seems like that's the way it's always going to be. You know, and as we talk about reward, we say, yes, I'm going to do differently when I'm older, when I retire. But the problem we find is that it'll be like that when you retire. You're never going to change unless you do it right now, unless you take your burdens to the Lord right now and intentionally make a promise to the Lord that you want to change now. You don't want to continue down this way. It scares you to think there might be another way. Too slow to slow down a bit. You're stressed out, tired, fatigued, and exhausted. As we close this message on work, and as I look around here, just about all of you work, so all of you can attest, can identify with something here. But as we close our eyes and bow our heads, probably you're here and you've heard a lot of scriptures thrown at you to back up these, and you can't identify with this because you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. And with nobody looking around, if you only say, darn it, I can't identify with this because I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm stressed out, or I need to work harder, but I don't know how to do it. I need to come into a relationship with this Jesus Christ, put him as first place in my heart, like others have said and I know. I want to make a commitment now. I don't want to wait another day. Just stick your hand up real quickly and put it down, and we'll remember you in prayer. Probably you're here stressed out. And your prayer is, dear Lord, help me to readjust my values, to not worry about being number one at everything. Help me to enjoy my results, what you have already blessed me with, to not always be envying and worrying about what I don't have. Teach me to limit my labor, to take a day off, to not be dumb and wear myself out. Help me to anticipate your care. I want to trust you. Help me not to worry, to put my security in you and you alone, not my bank account. I want to give you my business today. I want to commit you to my career, my profession, my job, my future, my promotions, and even my profits. I want you to be the CEO of my work because you are the center of my life. I ask you to take my life and my business. Today I want to exchange my pressure for your peace. Would you remove this stress and fatigue and exhaustion I feel and will fill me with your peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
So why do I work so hard? Why do I work so hard? It's because we want stuff, right? We want stuff. We want stuff that this world has to offer. Which is not bad, but if that's all that we want, that's bad. That's bad. But I tell you, nothing will satisfy like a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The song that we're going to sing in closing says, there's nothing that we could desire that could ever compare to Jesus Christ. And as I said a couple weeks ago, we're all born with this God-sized void, this void inside of us that can't be filled with anything else but Jesus Christ. So the gold and the silver, which is just a metaphor, a euphemism for the stuff that we crave. God said, nothing will ever compare to what I can give you. So as we sing the song in closing and it's speaking to you, do not let this time go by without you saying to yourself, right there in your seat, says, Lord Jesus, I do not want anything else in my life to come in front of you. Take control of my life. Make me your child. That's all you got to say. And if you say that at the end of our song, just let one of us know. Pastor Don, at myself, Kevin up here, well, ladies. Let's just sing the song closing. He rises as we sing the song, please, and then we close in a word of prayer. One more time. Jesus, Lord, as we stand in your presence, Lord, closing out this meeting, Lord. Lord, we pray that, Lord, that you'll just minister to hearts, Lord, that says that satisfaction will not be found in workaholism, Lord. Satisfaction will not be found in laziness. Satisfaction will only be found in you, Lord Jesus. Lord, if there's nothing else that we want people to leave here with, is that knowledge that satisfaction can only be found in you. So, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you in a very real way, Lord, that today they'll say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord. Lord, as we leave this place, take us to our respective homes in safety. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the holiday weekend.